Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace, a podcast all about how faith impacts our guests' careers and lives. I'm Sean Bowles, here with my co-host.
And I'm Bob Haston, and we're here to bring you unfiltered, powerful conversations with industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and culture shapers who are living out their faith in extraordinary ways. From billion-dollar boardrooms to creative industries, we reveal how God is moving through everyday, ordinary people just like you, and this podcast will give you courage, which is our goal.
Yeah, these are the stories you don't get to hear on Sundays. Plus, we get to dive deep in the latest trends in business, finance, entertainment, and politics, giving you real insight from a kingdom and biblical perspective.
This is where faith meets influence. This is Exploring the Marketplace.
Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Haston with my friend Sean Bowles. And Sean, I know we have an exciting show today. Let's hear about it.
Well, you and I talked beforehand, and we wanted to talk about the power of words in business. Like when someone says something negative over your destiny, your purpose, your business, who's influential over your heart? And I just think that affects us so much. And also focusing on what God's doing and not what he's not doing is a huge key to success. So we're going to be talking about that and just our focus, basically. And then right after that, we have incredible people on the show today. We have an amazing couple, Stephen and Chelsea Diaz, who you knew, Bob, before the show, which is great because you're the one who brought him on. They have one of the fastest growing businesses in America, according to Forbes. And he's going to share how he was partnered to God. And they're going to share how they partnered with God to do just that, to actually have this kind of successful company. I can't wait to hear their story.
Their story is amazing. So the power of words in business. I think one of the things that I say often is if business was easy, everyone would do it.
I know. I love when you say that. It just makes me think about it. I'm like, it's true.
Yeah. And one aspect of business we don't talk about too much is how hard it is to please customers and employees and partners and what happens when someone becomes irate or they won't pay you and they threaten litigation or a whole host of other things. What does that do to our spirit? The power of these words. And I think that our identity has to be rooted in Christ in a deep way, recognizing that we're loved sons and daughters of God first, so that when these things happen in the business world or in our personal lives, we're rooted in the fact that we're safe in Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when someone looks at you and says, your business is trash, or what you do is trash, or I hate your culture, or whether it's an employee or a vendor or somebody else, or like you did the worst job possible, it really does affect everybody their first rodeo, their first time around. It's one of those things where you look at it and go, but I did the best I could, or maybe I'm trash, or what? You're like, all the different things go around. I mean, I remember the first employee that was disgruntled with me, and I've had, I don't know, over 100 employees. The first employee I had in the organization I was working in that was disgruntled with me, I was in shock, and I took it as such a personal hit, and I just couldn't get over it. I was like, am I this? Am I not this? No, they're terrible. And I went into like this mode of like no humility, defense, being weird, you know, like, and I just remember this man who was mentoring me at the time said, you know, if you allow this criticism to rest this heavy in your heart, it's because there's something in your heart that needs to change because you're allowing an insecurity to drive you, not confidence. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how dare you? No, I'm attacking him too. No, just kidding. But each one of us goes through a time where it could be a parent who says you're not good enough, or it could be a coach who said you're never going to make the big team, or it could be someone, a business advisor or a vendor who's working with you who says, there's people who have way better stuff than you. How dare you? You know, and we're going to face people who have negative words. And in the Bible, one of the beautiful things as a Christian, you can actually break those words so they're not curses or they don't stay or land on your identity. You'd strengthen yourself in the Lord so that you actually have his input and his labels and his desires over you versus these words. And I think not enough people recognize it and take it that seriously, but then it's in their heart. I mean, I've talked to old men who are in their 80s who still have word curses from their dads when they were 12.
Right.
So it's for real. Like, this happens.
Yeah. I, you know, I've been in business almost 50 years. How's that to say?
Yeah.
47 years. And last month, we were on a Zoom call with the contractor that hired us, the architect who drew the plans, and the owner of this big fancy building in downtown Los Angeles. And we were in a dispute, and our team had basically laid out their side of the dispute. And the architect said to the general contractor, you hired the wrong painting company. You should get a better painting company. And I actually laughed because we're exactly the right company for this job. And we had unearthed a problem in the plans, and we were trying to get the whole team on board with it. But that wasn't how it was, you know, all those years ago when I was young, and when people would tell me things that, you know, weren't complimentary, that were really hard. I would go out of my way to make sure everyone was happy. And yeah. And it is a partnership with God. It's knowing that your identity is that you're a loved son or daughter of Christ, and that first sets your foundation so that when these things come at you, you have the ability to weather them and understand them and try the best that you can to please the customer or the vendor or the partner or the employee.
It does put a filter on you because you start to filter it. You go, okay, there's probably something I need to hear in this. There's like a truth in every accusation, even if it's not direct truth against your character. Mm-hmm. There's a truth. There's something you can learn from it is another way to say that. And so you get a filter to where it's like, why is this person doing this? And it's not about knowing their motives, because somebody could be just jealous and mean. Mm-hmm. Somebody could be angry and frustrated, taking it out on you or whatever. But if you figure out, like, is there something to learn from God? I feel like every single time there's drama, it's one of the training grounds where it's like, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials and tribulations of many kinds, because it develops that place of character and that place of perseverance, which cause you to live in a land of hope where you're never disappointed. And I feel like lots of us don't like James 1 because we don't want to think about trials and tribulations. But in the workplace, there's so many trials and tribulations. And if you go to it and go, okay, God, even in this, I consider this not happy joy, like as in laughter, but like there's a joy I get to know you more. And you're allowing this to come out to sharpen something in me and to change me. But I'm not going to allow their statements to belittle who you are or who I am in you. I think that's one of the big key things, is to say, I'm not going to allow this to define any of my value.
Yeah. And I think, Sean, I'd love to hear what you think, but when these things happen, you tend to focus on what you don't have or what the negative is rather than what you do have or what God's given you. And for me, you know, gratitude's a big part of looking back at where God's brought me from and where I think God's taking me, but being in the moment of saying, well, what is good? What do I have? And really, is there any truth into whatever these accusations or the dispute that I have?
No, I love that, because what you have defines what God can multiply. I remember going to this, you know, when I had my church in LA, and there's these three models, and we're having a prayer time during worship where everyone's praying for the person next to them type thing. And they're praying for each other. It's a boy and two girls, or a man and two women. And they're praying for each other and they're weeping, and they're like, and I hear their cries, and I laughed, but I wasn't laughing like to mock them, but they were crying because they wanted to move into acting, but they couldn't get any acting jobs because all three of them have been told by their agents, you're too pretty, you're too good looking. And they're looking for quirky and weird and different and normal. They don't want beautiful people in Hollywood right now. They want normal, like beautiful's out. And they were just like weeping, going, we'll never be anything. We'll never be able to move into acting. That's why we really came here. And they're very successful models, but they couldn't get an acting job to save their lives. And I looked at them and I was like, why don't you ask God if this is really what he wants for you? And then also, if it's not, then let him multiply what he's already doing in your life. And they're just like, oh, I never thought of that. Like, they just wanted it, you know? Yeah. Two out of three of them realized, this isn't my calling. I'm not supposed to be an actor. I just want to do that because it feels like a natural progression. The third one wanted it and actually moved into it, which is great. But it's just so funny. Like, even people who are people, everybody can get focused, even the most brilliant, beautiful, smartest, wisest, whatever, on what they don't have. And then we all lose because God can't multiply what we don't have.
That's what I love about you, is you have the ability to ask these real God questions to people who are struggling in such a unassuming way that changes their whole mindset. And I think that's what we have to be for each other, is the model that you show all the time of, well, maybe have you thought about this way in God? And I think relating it back to, you know, the power of words, if we could help people focus on what they have rather than what they don't have, where they're going rather than where they're not going, I think it would just change a lot of people's paradigms.
I love that. I think that's why we do the show, is to just be able to expose people to our guests and to different mindsets and how it looks lived out. Like, what does this look like lived out?
Yeah. Well, Sean, before we get to Chelsea and Stephen, I've got a question of the week. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. We feel that we're serving too general of an audience, but how does one get through the fear of a niche business or pivoting our business to become more narrow in our products?
I mean, I think that everybody who ends up going niche or niche, it's like you find your real audience. I feel like every time I've gone massively general and not served the core audience of who God's given me, or at least created a new audience with God that was niche or niche, then I don't get as broad of an outcome or as deep a fruit. And so I think, like, you're worried about the risk, but I think there's much less risk in going after the small that you can actually target very easily than to go after the broad, which is really hard to target. And even the big companies like Nike or Adidas shoes, or the big companies like car companies, they always go after a niche of people. They look for that. It's not like, even though they have broad audience or mainstream market stuff, I think of like the Christian production industry I'm in right now, and they're asking all the time, like, who is the person we're going after? And it's a very specific person, and right, they serve everyone else too, but they're looking at that specific person that they know their media is for. And if you don't go after that, then you don't hit anybody.
Yeah. I think about, you know, focus when I read this question, and I think about these huge companies that you were talking about. They have verticals, they have silos of niche businesses. Yeah. And, a long time ago, you know, I'm a painting subcontractor, and a long time ago, I just got in my mind, I want to be a general contractor. And I got my general contractor's license and started doing construction work and hated it. It was out of our niche. The margins weren't what we thought. We didn't know the business. And after 2 years of struggling, we shut it down and we focused on our niche business. I think focusing on the niche business is the best way to make money. And yeah. I think that the heart of it could feel like a loss if you have various services or products. But what I always say is, look at the most profitable services or products and focus on those.
Yeah.
And I think that's the heart of this question is, you know, can we do this? Yes. And most great companies have built a company and then focused on the niche, and it's incredible.
You know, and there's that thing you say a lot, Bob, that you shouldn't just live out of your passions or go for your passions. That sometimes that's an idealist dream, you know, in the sense of like, I'm going to live, it's your first 5 years, I'm going to do what I'm passionate about. Well, your first 5 years, you're going to do a lot of work that you're not passionate about, right? And you talk right. to people about that a lot. I think it's the same with, you know, we think that we're going to, I've talked to a lot of songwriters that our favorite songs that we wrote out of the deepest place of passion are going to be the most celebrated. And I've talked to songwriters for some major celebrities.
Yeah.
And they say, usually they're disappointed by the end of their career in the sense of like, not a real way, but they're like, all the songs they never thought would become something became something. All the songs they're most passionate about never mattered. And there's this thing where it's like, we want to bring our best foot forward of what we connect to emotionally and even sometimes spiritually to the table and say, now buy this, and nobody does. And so we have to let go of ego, and we have to let go of expectation a lot to serve and actually do all that God's called us to do, and especially as a business person.
Oh, that's so, what a great combined answer to that question. Well, Sean, it's time for our guests. Could you let us know who we have on?
Well, meet Chelsea and Stephen Diaz. We've had Stephen on another episode, and many of our listeners will have probably remember listening to it, but they're the dynamic founders of the Rainmaker Family, a movement dedicated to empowering families to achieve financial abundance, especially moms, and freedom by building a thriving family legacy. And in 2017, they made a bold shift from running a service-based wedding photography business, trading dollars for hours, to creating a more time-leveraged online brand. Now today, Chelsea and Stephen specialize in e-commerce and brand building, and they equip moms to become, become rainmakers for their families. And their innovative approach championed the idea of working smarter, not harder, enabling moms to run successful businesses while cherishing meaningful moments with loved ones. Now, here's the deal. Through their Rainmaker Mastermind Bob program that they run, they're ranked number 148 on the Inc. 5000 list, wow, and number 2 in the education category. And the Diaz Duo is reshaping online learning by providing a success in business can align with your family first lifestyle, which I think is so profound. So this is who we have today.
Up next, Stephen and Chelsea Diaz.
I want to invite you to partner with us to spread the gospel around the world. And we're doing this through our TV shows and our podcasts, our social media. We're helping Christians navigate culture with a biblical worldview of what God's doing right now in society, news, entertainment, the church, through the Sean Bowles Show, which is our weekly commentary show on podcasts. We're building courage with our ministry audience for their calling and their careers for exploring the marketplace, which is a CBN news show and a podcast. And we're helping thousands to grow spiritually in their connection to Christ and training them to hear God's voice. And we're activating them in their gifts and helping them to have coaching tools for their inner development through Spiritual Growth Academy online. On top of this, I get to minister around the world with Sound Biblical Truth on Prophetic Edge through YouTube all week long. And we have Sunday services even with YouTube. And we have weekly videos, and this doesn't even touch other social media that we do. I, of course, do a lot of ministry with TBN, and I host a lot of different media outside of what we're doing in our ministry, but we want to have you come help us. We want to invite you to help us expand our reach. And we are on testimony overload of the goodness of God, changing people's lives through the impact that we're having as a ministry. But we need you to help us create this media, this ministry. You can be a part of our team and our family, and we get to pray for you when you do this. We pray for our partners weekly. We get to resource you. We send you regular resources, both in the mail, but also online, because we want you to be equipped and reinforced. And we also have monthly partner meetings where you get to connect with me and our Bowles team online live, so you can feel the synergy of what God's doing and let it energize your life, as well as we get to pray for you live every month. And if you can't come live, you're still going to watch the video and get the prayer, because we take whatever God's doing in our ministry and we impart it to you so you can have the benefit. But become a partner today so our fruit becomes your fruit.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Steve and Chelsea Diaz. You guys, we're so happy to have you here.
Love being here. Thanks for having us, guys.
Yes, thank you so much.
I'm so glad that we get part two with both of you as a couple, because some of you might have listened to our interview with Steven back a while, not even that long ago, but we really felt to have Chelsea on too, because you're so much a part of the story of what you guys have built together. And you built this incredible organization, which we're going to talk about. But I want to hear some of the story, because I mean, I think your first job was like in and out. You guys did wedding photography, all these other things, and you end up doing what you're doing now. But talk about your heart, because a lot of what Stephen told us on his episode was about how God put in your heart, like mothers and people who are stay at home and that kind of thing. So take us on the journey.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the first stories that comes to mind that I had in my own life is, you mentioned, Sean, that I worked at In-N-Out Burger, and that was like one of my first jobs in high school. And I would say, like, growing up, I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. I always wanted like stability. And Steven and I started like dating at a young age, and it was like, oh, Steven's going to be the creative one, you know, off doing whatever entrepreneurially. And Chelsea, you're going to be the provider and stable. And it was really like when I was working at In-N-Out, I'll never forget the day there was a really long line, and it was, I was the only one taking orders. And what had happened was we got this big old rush, and people came early for lunch, and there wasn't going to be anybody who was able to clock in until another like 20 minutes, just how scheduling things happen. And I remember I was super timid. I was a 16-year-old trying to take all of these orders, and I'm trying to be polite and, you know, do the checklist and have that in and out like culture spirit. And the line is getting longer and longer, and I can see like a couple people back that there's this gentleman with his son, and he's just starting, I can hear him starting to grumble and almost like get frustrated with how long things are taking. And he comes up to me, and he starts rambling off his order. And then he just says, like, you are never going to get anywhere in life unless you do something about this. And like, you need to go tell your manager. And I was just like, okay, like, yes, sir. Like, trying to be polite. And there's nothing else I could do. I'm like, you know, if you have any feedback, like, you can, you know, call this number, whatever. And I was literally holding back tears as he is just saying, like, you're never going to get anywhere in life, which is probably a lie lie that I believed at an early age anyway. So he's just like piercing my heart in the worst way possible. But the crazy thing was, is, you know, a couple people back from this gentleman, after I'd taken his order, you know, tried to wipe my tears away, there's this woman that stepped up, and I don't remember her name, but I will never forget her face. She had beautiful, bright blue eyes and blonde hair. And I just said, hi, like, what, like, how can I help you? How can I take your order? I forget what the saying is that you're supposed to say. And she just looked at me straight in the eyes. And she said, Chelsea, like, you're doing an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it just kind of like calmed my spirit and just was like, okay, like, you're going to be okay. It like settled my heart. And I think that moment was like a very marking moment in like my entrepreneurship journey. And when I think back to just like, I really feel called that I'm supposed to come alongside women and moms specifically and encourage them and just say, like, you have everything inside of you to be successful, to be an amazing mom. And I believe that the desire that's on your heart are actually from the Lord. Like, he gave you those, you know, I'm gonna start crying again, but he gave you those. And, yeah, just to come alongside of moms and women and just say, like, you can do life differently and you can choose. And, it can be beautiful, and even in the messy and in the mundane. And so, and then of course, you know, years later, Steve and I getting married, starting Rainmakers, first starting out in weddings and then becoming a mom. And at that point, you know, we had had several income streams and we were doing all right. And just like the relief that I had of being a first time mom and not feeling like I had to rush back to work, you know? So it was like another level of like what we've discovered and the system that we have, like, can't just be for us. It has to go to any mom who's willing to listen. So that was just like that marking moment for me.
That is such an amazing story. And that, it sounds like that woman encouraging you was the genesis for you wanting to encourage. So talk to us, Stephen, a little bit about what Rainmakers is.
So, okay. So the real answer is you look us up online, you know, we help families thrive in life. Really, our goal is to help them build remote businesses and unlock time freedom, location freedom, and ultimately leave a thriving family legacy. So we do that through online business ownership and teaching them how to start an online business. But really, the below the surface mission of Rainmakers is to shift people from lack to abundance. Mm-hmm. And really, we see lack as one of the greatest epidemics in culture that honestly goes back to the garden. Yes. Like, Adam and Eve focused on the one thing they didn't have, and that's what led to all this stuff, right? And, you know, Chelsea, even that moment, this guy's saying, you're not enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest things that moms believe, that dads believe, that they're not enough. And so we try to go after lack in all areas of their life. Of course, financially, but that's just like the catchy, like, exciting thing that brings them in. And then we're like, let's talk about how to see life to the fullest in all these areas. Mm-hmm. What about lack in your thinking around time, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have enough time, right? What about your lack in your thinking around yourself? I'm not enough, like your value. And so we use money and money making as the catchy thing that gets people in. Of course, we love entrepreneurship because it and I think Jesus talked about money a lot too, because it reveals the heart stuff.
Yeah.
And then we get to talk and coach the heart and truly hopefully bring abundance in all areas of their life.
Yeah.
So funny, because Sheree and I, my wife, we were talking about time poverty about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where, you know, just we only have two kids, and that's, but it feels like the ages are at their at that our house is like living with 8 to 10 people to clean and to take care of and all the schedules and everything else. And so I can't imagine, like, you know, when we're both entrepreneurial doing our stuff and there's seasons where she's had to lay some things down. And I just look at it, I can't imagine how many of the moms feel like that man who was going to reprimand you. You know, they feel the chaos that's in the line and they feel like it's coming towards them. To have someone come up behind that and say, you're doing a great job. You know, that your organization is helping people to feel like, I can live a good life. I can live a great job. It's so profound. Yeah. Take us to Chelsea back where you guys started to kind of move out of this place of what you were doing before with wedding photography and you moved into it for yourself and you start to create a system. Like, what made you decide to do a system for other people?
Yeah. I think just every wedding season, just feeling the weight of the world, like on my shoulders, like it felt like, are we ever going to get ahead? Like friends and family have stopped calling us, you know, we'd hear comments like, you're so busy. You know, you must be gone all the time. And just really thinking about wanting to start a family someday. And just like, this doesn't feel sustainable. And Stephen is like, all about like late night, like looking into the next cool, like online marketing thing. That's how he was and continues to like grow and learn. So we had kind of stumbled into like a system that we now teach. And I was like a little skeptical, like, okay, great. You know, again, I was about like stability. Like we have wedding clients. We need to do a good job.
Just to get the business running. What she's not telling you is I'm goofing off. She's keeping the actual business running. I'm just like throwing spaghetti against the wall, buying programs, watching webinars. I'm like, hey, let's side hustle. Let's start 1,000 side hustles. She really kept us stable in that moment, but we were on to something.
Yeah. So feeling like we were on to something, we'd started seeing sales coming through with these physical products that we were launching and just like creating the system around it. And so I was seeing like, obviously the financial win coming in, but also like the relief of like, oh man, like we can be more picky about who we're saying yes to and what we're saying yes to and all that. And I'll never forget, I think like the light bulb moment for me actually happened before I became a mom. And then of course, having that realization when we had our son as well. But I'll never forget, we were at a wedding, it was probably 110 degrees out. And as a wedding professional, you get like a 10 minute break to go eat dinner. And we sat down. And I just said, hey, Stephen, like, let's pull up the app that tracked all of our sales. And like, let's just see like how much we made today. And so we sat down after stuffing our faces full of like potatoes and like, you know, tri-tip.
Tri-tip. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And looking at each other and realizing we had made more money in that product-based business than we had photographing that wedding. And for me, it was like the weight of the world that I had experienced was started to lift. And I was just like, we are onto something. And I know that so many other women especially feel this way every single year at different points of their life. And if I can teach them something that has changed our lives, like why wouldn't I? And so I became like, we have to get this message out there. We have to start sharing that with everybody. And then shortly after we got pregnant with our first son and having this breakthrough and starting to teach people. And I'm having this realization while being pregnant with our son of just like, wow, I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you led us on this journey to discover this. Like how cool is that, that like, as I'm like growing this baby, you're growing this business. And so, and then after having our son, it was just like, if anybody will listen, like I will share this with them, because it was such a breakthrough moment of like the weight that I'd felt. I didn't just feel like it was the weight of like my own, you know, wanting the freedom, but it was for everybody else too, that God was just like, you're experiencing this, but I'm going to give you a tool and a resource to share with others. And then of course, like, it's not just about the method, but like who I became in that process and just like, wow, God, like you're a good provider. Mm. You led us into this.
That's so amazing. Well, I'd like you both to talk to the mom at home who maybe has an idea and maybe doesn't. Mm. And what do Stephen and Chelsea and Rainmaker do for them? Why are we talking to you?
Yeah, I would say like, most people who even come to us don't even have ideas. They just have a dream.
Yeah.
And so I believe, you know, almost this is one of my favorite Jesus sayings, you know, he that has will have more in abundance. Let's just actually say she that has will have more in abundance. She that has not, even that will be taken away. I really think it starts at the place of just being open to like anything that's in your hand. What do I have? Mm-hmm. Anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people really focus on, I think, resources, right? Oh, I don't have money. I don't have time. I don't have whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you start shifting into what do I have, you actually start to be resourceful. Mm-hmm. And you can start to create value out of nothing, really. And so really, that's where we start, is just openness to being like, hey, I have a dream for something. Mm-hmm. And in our program now, we actually, like, it's changed over time. Right now, we're actually helping moms really build influence first. Which is kind of interesting, you know, like it's not how Rainmaker started, but now we bring them in and we show them how to build an audience and like kind of figure out what's that thing in your heart that's like you want to put a signpost in the ground and like tell the world about, right? Mm-hmm. And let's build some influence around that thing through methods that are not super time consuming. Okay, you're not on TikTok doing dances every day. So let's build an audience, and then once we have people, we just look at how can we serve those people. Mm-hmm. So how can we create value for those people so valuable that they'll trade dollars for that value, right? Wow. Like, and that's where the business comes from. So of course we can do market data research, all these things, mm-hmm. but if you kind of come back to the core of like, how can I love this people group more than anyone else that's mm-hmm. loving this people group? That's like a recipe for success. And it could be through a digital product, a physical product. It could be through recommending someone else's product as an affiliate. There's so many ways mm-hmm. that you can generate income. But if you come back to like, it's not about selling, it's about how can I find someone to love on mm-hmm. and love on them like no one else has loved on them. Mm-hmm. So specific. And I think that's why our program is so successful, is because yes, everyone wants to make money online. Mm-hmm. And that's how we started Rainmakers. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. And this is the big mistake, is trying to make it for everyone. But when mm-hmm. we started making it for moms, we could mm-hmm. serve the mom at such a higher level, because we know how to speak mom. We know how to optimize it for mom. We know how to make short lessons instead of hour-long lessons. Like, we made everything for mom. And so when moms come to us, they feel loved because like, this was built for me.
Mm-hmm. That's so amazing. Chelsea, talk to us about maybe some moms or some of the products that you have online and what your influence in teaching has done. Tell us a success story, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one that stands out to me that I oftentimes think about is a mom who, she was already a very successful business owner, done different types of business and real estate. And she had three daughters, and she came into our program and I think was probably a little bit more on like the shyer side. And one of the things we do is we love creating community in all of our programs. And one of the things we have people do is like go live and introduce yourself, which for Steven and I, like talking and being on camera, like we've gotten used to, but for the majority of people, that's very scary and out of their comfort zone. And we do that within tension, because like business is sometimes, I mean, often scary, and it's mm-hmm. out of your comfort zone, especially when you get started. So it's just kind of the first little intro of like, let's get you outside of your comfort zone and show you that you really can do this. And so she started going live and engaging with the community. And one of her daughters, who I think was in her like mm-hmm. teenage years at the time, told her like, Mom, like, I see who you're becoming. Like, you are like changing and you're becoming more confident, and like, I'm proud of you. Wow. And for her daughter to like say that to her, I mean, that just like gives me chills, just like thinking about that's like the bubble over benefits, we call them, like those things that, you know, it's not just about the finances, but it's about like who you become in the process. Mm-hmm. And I think about another mom who, she was a either part-time or full-time nurse. So nurses, you know, have a great income, but she really wanted to spend more time with her kids. And because of one product that she had launched through our program, she was able to stay home with her youngest son, which was like a dream of hers to be able to do. She didn't have to go back to work. She was able to live off of that income. And of course her husband's income, but like that dream of like, she had two older kids that she had to, you know, go right back to work for, but she got to choose like, hey, I want to be here with my son. And they even moved across the country mm-hmm. as well at one point. And I think I saw her post like early this year, like my product, like it reached some kind of crazy milestone with all these reviews and still selling. And she was just thanking friends and family who had supported her in the beginning.
Oh, it's so good. I'm just hearing the fruit of it after you guys started out in a place where you're like, we're going to help other people do what you felt, Chelsea, just mm-hmm. like get the weight off of them. And you wanted that stability. And yet God was like, come on this stability journey my way, which mm-hmm. is not a direct route or direct path all the time. Yeah. You guys have created this. It's so good. How do people get a hold of Rainmaker? How do they engage your, I'm sure there's moms out there, or someone has a mom, they're like, this is my mom. She needs to go through this.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of you? How do people go through it? What does it look like?
Yeah, we would love to connect more. We do have a podcast called The Rainmaker Family Show. So if you are a podcast listener, we have tons of free content and resources there, as well as our Instagram we are very active on, which is at The Rainmaker Family, as well as we have a website, rainmakerfamily.com, which has links to everything we're doing. If you want to hear more, the podcast, Instagram, everything is in one place there.
Oh, so amazing. You guys, I almost want to be a mom. Well, kind of but you guys are so encouraging. Like, I can't believe what you're doing. It's so amazing. We're so honored to have had you on the show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bob. Thanks,
Thank Sean. You so much for having us.
Well, we're excited to see where the journey goes and how many people are impacted through it. And we thank you for being on, like Bob said. And to you, our viewer and listener audience, we're so glad that you guys were here for this conversation. Make sure to follow them on Instagram, visit that website, especially if you're a mom or you have a mom, which we all do, who needs this kind of program in their life. This is a perfect opportunity to walk alongside some incredible Christian giants who are teaching people very practical ways to just come into this place of spirituality through Christianity that we all know should exist, which is regular transformation, everyday life. Thank you guys again. So we'd love for you to go on the journey with us. Go to bowlsministries.com and we will meet with you there or on YouTube, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for being a part of Exploring the Marketplace, where faith and business collide to shape culture. Stay ahead with free resources, online courses, and exclusive content at bowlsministries.com. And even dive deeper with our online training, spiritual growth mentoring community, or grab a copy of Wired to Hear, the book that Bob and I co-authored to help you hear God in your career.
We're building a global conversation. You can be part of it. Partner with us or donate today, or recommend new guests for our show to fuel the impact. Let's stay connected. Follow us on social media at Sean Bowles or at Bob Hassan.
And did you love the episode? Share it with your network and leave a review. It helps us so much to reach more people who are ready to bring the kingdom into the marketplace.
See you next time.